Holy shit, it's the return of the internet's number one podcast. Okay, that's a complete lie. It's the return of Brash Games' Going Solo podcast with me, Liam Pritchard, and as always, just me, Liam Pritchard, with the occasional intervention from one of my cats. This week, the first week of 2017, we'll be taking a look at Bollywood. I know, I don't know why. The great start to the year for movies in general. The underrated games I've been enjoying over the Christmas break, and some of the most annoying save crashes I've experienced in my life. There's only one place to start, really, and that's Bollywood. I know that seems like an odd place to start, especially for a video game slash movie podcast, but especially one which, you know, isn't based in India. But I went to see my first Bollywood movie ever, actually. You know, it wasn't just the first film I'd seen in the cinema, it was just the first Bollywood film I've seen. And, you know, Slumdog Millionaire doesn't fucking count. That's just a movie set in India. I don't care. I know they, like, add a Bollywood song on the end, but it's not a Bollywood movie. This was full legit Bollywood. It's actually distributed by Disney, and it's called Dangal, which, as far as I can tell, just means wrestler or wrestle. And it's based very fucking loosely on a true story of two daughters who are trained up by their father to become Olympic-style wrestlers and then go to the Commonwealth Games when it was held in India in 2010. And spoiler alert, one of them actually goes ahead and wins the gold medal. Is that a spoiler alert? Who gives a fuck? Are any of you going to go and watch Dangal? Well, need to say, it's turned out, I think it's on course to become like the biggest Bollywood movie of all time. And I actually quite enjoyed it. Some of it's a bit off. To say that it took creative liberties would be something of an understatement. I've actually since watched the kind of, because obviously it's building up towards our last wrestling match. Needless to say, it's like a best of three rounds. The girl, she wins, that is true, but she wins inside of two rounds quite comfortably. Of course, in this movie, she wins with like a last minute, essentially fucking suplex, while her father, for reasons I still can't comprehend, is locked away in an airing cupboard. So yeah, that was a bit weird. There's also a bit where they can't eat chicken, which I assume is a cultural thing. I didn't know people from India can eat chicken. I think it's like a regional thing where in certain parts due to religion, they can't eat any meat perhaps. But yeah, it was quite interesting to come across those kind of cultural, you know, just assumptions. Like I shouldn't, because, you know, I go on the assumption that most people know what they are, but I had no fucking idea. But to get to my point, I just find it interesting, seeing that this is my first Bollywood movie, that despite Bollywood being the second biggest movie industry in the world, it just does not carry to the West at all. Like, at all. Like, I'm not saying, you know, people from all over the, you know, you can't go to, like, any cinema in the UK and, oh, yeah, I love watching Polish movies or Czech New Wave or, you know, Japanese horror films. But, you know, if you go to, like, an independent cinema, you get European films, you get Asian films, and people go and see them. Not everyone, but plenty of people do. Nobody goes to see Bollywood films. Nobody, you know, quote unquote, from the West do anyway, as far as I can tell, unless they're of Indian descent. I mean, we went to that cinema. There were a few other, you know, white folk there, for lack of a better term, but they were all accompanied by somebody who at least appeared to be of Indian descent. We were the only people there who weren't accompanied by, I guess, an Indian. And I mean, that's not strange, of course. I just found it odd when I thought about it that they just don't carry over. I mean, what percentage of the white population of the UK have seen a Bollywood movie? Especially those who don't have kind of, you know, who weren't taken to the cinema by an Indian friend, for instance. It's just strange. Because like I said, you don't get it with, like, you know, Japanese movies. Loads of people go and see Japanese movies. European movies. Is it the musical thing? Is it just too far removed from our sensibilities? I mean, it was, you know, I've heard this was a relatively forward-thinking film by Bollywood standards. I mean, it does, you know, it's based on a true story, of course, but it does look at the underlying issue of a woman's place in society in India. And obviously, you know, I'm not au fait on, like, the intricacies of such issues, but, you know, I appreciate that there is an issue over there, and this obviously takes a look at it. And I get the impression that that isn't the norm for cinema over there, that it doesn't question maybe the political and religious views of the country in the same way that maybe we get over here with, like, you know, the quote-unquote, you know, liberal Hollywood, etc. But I don't know. I'm not saying I'll go out and, you know, watch a whole bunch of other Bollywood movies, but I definitely enjoyed that one. The only thing is, after I watched it, I went away and I was like, okay, let's see what else is going on, because this was, like, you know, as I said, on course to be the biggest Bollywood movie of all time. So I looked up some of the other ones, and the film stars a man called Aamir Khan, and I get the impression, like, he's the big box office draw over there. And one of the other biggest films of all time recently released was a film called PK, with him in it again. And I watched a trailer, I had no idea what the fuck was going on. And I think that's where you can draw the line. And it's something which doesn't travel well, and that's comedy. I assume it was going for comedy anyway. It was the fucking straight... Like, honestly, I couldn't tell you, despite the fact that there were subtitles, I couldn't tell you what the fuck was going on. I have no idea what they were going for. I can only assume laughs, but went right over my fucking head. But it's strange, I guess that more than anything else, comedy just doesn't travel. But I mean, if you were ever interested in going to see a Bollywood film, if you ever thought, you know, I'll give it a go, Dangal is still showing at cinemas now. I get the impression it, you know, won't be shown for too much longer, but it still seems incredibly popular. So, I mean, you know, if you fancy seeing something different, especially if you've got like a Cineworld pass, which we do, this is one of the reasons we went to see it. My wife's boss is Indian and he was banging on about the film. Like, oh, why don't we give it a go? Why don't we give it a go? So we went along and it turned into be a very, the kind of last part of a very interesting trilogy over the weekend. Because we went to see, I've been to see quite a few films already, going into the year 2017. That, was that a fucking sentence? Go, yeah. The films I went to see going into the year 2017? Fucking hell, Liam. Well, I'll start with the good ones. I went to see A Monster Calls. I thought that was awesome. One problem, it's like the saddest fucking film of all time. Now, I'm dead inside. I don't cry at films. My wife is just assumes I'm a robot. I mean, we've been together for 14 years now and I've never cried in front of her. And that's not like me showing off and going how tough I am. I mean, my wife literally thinks I'm dead inside. This isn't a positive thing. The problem is it's gone on for so long now that I can never cry again. If I cry, she's just going to have a fucking heart attack. So that's out of the question. But she, however, she cries at a drop of a hat. And she, I'd say, cried solidly. Crying maybe is underselling. She sobbed aggressively for a fucking hour. It was pretty intense watching that film. And we went to see the early showing. So we were at the cinema at like 10 o'clock in the morning. By 10:30, she is just crying her fucking eyes out. It's a strange experience on a Saturday. But it's a great film. I heard the book is actually one of those kind of young adult books. This doesn't have that vibe. I'm sure young adults will enjoy it. But this is a very adult movie, despite the lead being a young kid. Speaking of young kids, I'm amazed I haven't heard anything about him in regards to like Oscar or awards season, because this kid is fucking phenomenal. I mean, he is dealing with some heavy shit in this film. I mean, I won't go into the details, but it's a heavy going film, very, you know, emotionally driven, and he is phenomenal throughout. And he's putting on an accent. His name's Lewis McDougall, and he's actually from Edinburgh. And I mean, he puts on, as far as I can tell, a flawless English accent, and he just absolutely knocks it out of the park. Even more noticeable, considering the fact that Sigourney Weaver, who is good in it, but her accent is fucking all over the shop. It's like Russell Crowe all over the shop. I mean, she's like, half the film, she's kind of English. The other half, she's like, fuck it, I'll just be Sigourney Weaver from America. It's almost a little off-putting. She's still good. I mean, she's awesome. She's an awesome actress. But I almost wish she just hadn't bothered with the accent and just been from America. It would have made life much easier. But I went to see that. Obviously I went to see Dangal and then finish it off with La La Land. Went to see an advanced screening of that. I think it's coming out officially this week. You totally see it. I know everyone's like raving about it, but I'd almost convinced myself that I wasn't going to enjoy it that much. I was like, it won't be that good. It might be a bit smug, you know, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. No, they are like charming as fuck in that film. And as much as it kind of celebrates the romance of Hollywood, it does deal with the darker, dare I say, more realistic day-to-day aspect of trying to find work and trying to, you know, stick with your dreams in Hollywood. So it's not all kind of, singing in the rain shit. I use Singing in the Rain as an example. I've never actually seen Singing in the Rain. Singing in the Rain could be completely brutal for all I know. But La La Land is an absolutely fantastic film, and alongside the director's previous film, Whiplash. I mean, completely different film. But talk about, being on a run. I mean, can you call it a run when it's two films? I think you can if it's Whiplash and La La Land. They're two of the best films I've seen in the last few years. And I would definitely suggest seeing that on the big screen. Because it's so colourful, it's shot so beautifully. The only criticism I would aim its way is the fact that as much as I enjoyed the songs while the film was on, none of them are all that memorable. Like, I didn't come out humming any of the songs. I had like one of the little kind of piano pieces, which kind of is repeated throughout the film, which is quite pleasant, but it's not a musical number. And what, again, while none of them are bad, I can't remember any of them now. And as I said, I wasn't kind of, you know, toe-tapping my way out of the cinema, but that is, and I know it sounds weird to say that's a minor complaint about a musical, but the film is so good. You should definitely go see it. One second, water. Jesus Christ, it's hard work talking to just a microphone.
And I mean that when there's, you know, no one else talking back. So it's just me solidly fucking talking. Because if I stop talking, it's just dead air. We can't have that. No, I was going to do a dead air joke. That'd be fucking bullshit. The other big film I've seen this year is Assassin's Creed. Now, that wasn't so good. It's been absolutely savaged by the critics. I'm a lot more positive on it. I thought the good stuff was really good. I thought the stuff back at the Spanish Inquisition looked absolutely gorgeous. I thought the parkour was dealt with amazingly well. I never felt overboard. I think the fact that a lot of it, like, they don't use a huge amount of special effects. Most of it's kind of in camera and it's them actually doing the stunts. And you can totally tell. There's one or two times when it kind of tiptoes towards, like, the video game in terms of levels of ludicrousy. But for the most part, all that stuff is successful. I'm not sure about the color palette or the color grading, I think is the technical term. It's all a bit brown, but it's still gorgeous to look at. And those scenes, you just want more of it. But of course, for an Assassin's Creed movie to work, you've got to have the modern day shit and you've got to explain. There's going to be so much exposition. I mean, Marion Cotillard, I mean, poor girl. She's a great actress, but she's just an exposition machine in this film. That's all she does, is just deliver exposition over and over again. And I don't actually agree with the criticism that it doesn't have a sense of humor. No, I mean, I agree it doesn't have a sense of humor. But not all films need a fucking sense of humor. I don't buy into this just because it's a blockbuster that it has to have fucking lols in it. That's not my issue. It's the fact that the characters are paper thin and it's just too much story for one movie. Excuse me. The thing is, I'd love to see a sequel because with the same director, same cast, because I think they've got the hard work out the way. And if you could kind of go straight into a sequel, you know, running into it, so to speak, is that, what's the fucking term? Hit the ground running? Fucking hell, Liam. I've just finished work, I'm toying here. Then they can make something genuinely interesting. But yeah, it's another film which didn't quite make it. I mean, we were all convinced World of Warcraft or Assassin's Creed, with the directors involved, with the talent, we're like, one of these is going to be shit hot. One of them has to be at least good. And they've both been, again, I didn't hate World of Warcraft as much as a lot of people did. But I mean, talking about damning with faint praise, I didn't hate it as much as other people. It was fine. It had loads of problems, but I enjoyed it while I watched it. And the same is true of Assassin's Creed, but I wouldn't go out of my way to say either is good. And the only reason Assassin's Creed works in any way is because I played the video games and I know the storyline. I talked to my friend who'd seen it and he doesn't play the games. He had no idea what the fuck was going on. And I remember like leaving and I said to my wife, I was like, I enjoyed that, but I assume, you know, for anyone who hasn't played the video games, that must have been confusing as shit. And based on the people who I've actually spoken to, that is true. So I get the savage reviews. But if you're a fan of Assassin's Creed, there's plenty to like here. You know, give it a go. But it's just another one in a long list of failed video game movies. Like, there literally has never been a single, like, not one. Not even one close to good. So, like, these ones have been okay-ish. That's the best we've been able to manage. And it's strange because there are good video game movies, but they're all movies which aren't actually based on video games. Like, if you look at Edge of Tomorrow, for instance, the Tom Cruise movie, which everyone should go fucking see, because it is one of the... It's not just a great video game movie, it's one of the best blockbusters of the past 5-6 years, I'd say. Easy. I mean, it is literally, structurally, a video game. And I know it's based on a Japanese book rather than a video game, but in terms of structure, he just keeps playing the same level over and over again, getting a bit further. It's basically Dark Souls, the video game, just with sci-fi and Tom Cruise. And it's an absolutely phenomenal movie. And the same is true of Scott Pilgrim, Edgar Wright's take on Scott Pilgrim. Again, it's based on a graphic novel rather than a video game, but it's so steeped in video game lore. And, I mean, again, the whole beating the bosses, I mean, I don't have to explain that, obviously. And that film, why didn't more people go to see that film? I mean, everyone loves Shaun. Like, I would secretly say that might be Edgar Wright's second best movie. I think I love Hot Fuzz. Every time I watch that film, I think I like it a bit more. I think I prefer Scott Pilgrim to Shaun of the Dead. I'm not sure if I had the same impact the first time I saw it, but I enjoy watching Scott Pilgrim again more than I enjoy going back to Shaun of the Dead. And that's no criticism of Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead's fantastic. I just love Scott Pilgrim that much. And Edge of Tomorrow, what was it? Edge of the World? Was that the name of his third film? Well, that one was okay. The start was shit, the end was terrible, but there's like a good hour and 15 in the middle, which is really good. All right, we're going to need some more water. Jesus Christ. It's like I ate a bag of fucking sand before I started the podcast. So yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with video games. It sounds like I'm saying video games, like I'm from the South. Video games. I don't even know what the next one lined up is. Tetris? I heard they were going to make a Tetris trilogy. How the fuck that's going to work, I don't know. But maybe that'll end up being the one that works. Maybe it'll be that weird abstract thing where you don't expect it. Like Assassin's Creed makes sense as a movie. Tetris doesn't make sense as a movie. Maybe it'll fucking work in the same way that the Lego movie worked. I don't know how the fuck it's going to work, but I prefer to put my money on that more than anything else at the moment. I mean, my great hype was the Peter Jackson Halo movie, but fuck it, Halo just doesn't look like it's ever going to happen again. And in terms of making a big budget movie, it feels like maybe they've kind of missed the boat on that. Is Halo ever going to be as big as it used to be? I'm not convinced it is, but I don't know. I don't know. What else was I going to talk about? Yeah, so the underrated games I've been enjoying over Christmas. There have been loads of like really good games I haven't got around to yet. But there's something about picking up a game which I don't know if it's going to be good or bad. There's a certain excitement level to that. These kind of video games which split opinion. I there are a few things more exciting than that. I don't know why. Like, you'd think I prefer just a game which I know is going to be great. But there's something slightly boring about a game where I'm like, oh, this is going to be brilliant. Like Uncharted 4. It's like, all right, yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I shouldn't shrug my shoulders. That should be great news. But it's games like ReCore, which I always get excited about. Like, oh, this could go either way. And it kind of went both ways. For those who don't know, it was created by Keiji Inafune of Mega Man fame and his, you know, I'm sure his very talented staff. And a lot of the guys who worked on Metroid Prime. And it's actually a perfect combination of those two styles. Like, the gameplay has the feel of a 3D Metro, 3D Mega Man. But the open world, which wasn't advertised at all, I didn't realize the game was quite so open. It does really have that Metroid vibe. And I thoroughly, like, the combat, the core gameplay in particular, is absolutely fantastic. And it's another one of those examples of, like, I know the Metroid team are a European team, but it feels like a Japanese video game in the best possible way. It feels like the kind of game they were releasing at the start of the 360 lifespan. And the combat, the core mechanics, I've heard some people complain about the platform and I thought it was brilliant. I like the world, the characters are bullshit, but that never really mattered to me. The problem is it's just like a handful of stupid design choices. Like, you can only keep two of your like robot friends with you at the same time. I mean, you switch between them. Why can't you just switch between all fucking three or four? And it just means when you're trying to collect and unlock things later on, you might not have the right robot with you. And that means you have to go back to your fucking space tank, whatever it is. And that means another 30-minute load time. I mean, that is one of the fucking burns of this game. The load times are absolutely brutal. I can't remember the last time. Maybe Bloodborne was the last time I came across a game where the load times were just fucking as lame as this. In fairness, you know, and it's not like one of those games where, oh, once it's loaded, that's the whole world loaded. That's that area loaded. If you go to another area, that's another fucking load screen. So that's brutal. And there was something else I didn't like. Oh, yeah, the fucking tower thing. Everyone's complained about it. Everyone who's played it. But it just adds a bit too much. I don't mind being encouraged to collect things so I can get further into the game. But it just, it was that combination of that asking a lot of me. And then I was going to do it. I was going to fucking do it. And then it was just another one of those times when I didn't have the right robot with me. And I was like, the fucking core is there because you need to collect cores. But I can't get to it because I have the fucking robot. Which means I've got to go back to my truck, tank, wherever the hell it is. I've got to sit through a loading screen to get there. I've got to sit through a loading screen to get back. And then I've got to use that robot. And then I get around the corner. I probably need a different one. And I was like, fuck it. I do not have enough fucking hours in my life to deal with this. And it just kind of, it didn't ruin the game because I still played like 12 hours that game. Maybe 12. Let's call it 8. Sometimes 8 and 10 hours. I don't know when I went to 12. That's a complete lie. Somewhere between 8 and 10 hours. And I thoroughly enjoyed what I played of it. But when you get to like floor, I think there are 5 floors and then you essentially fight the final boss. And I got to the 3rd floor and I would have really liked to have finished it. And I actually unlocked the 4th one, but I couldn't be bothered because I knew I wouldn't unlock the 5th one. So I just called it a day. So yeah, I know that all sounds really negative, but if you want to try something a bit different, I think it's totally still worth a go. Because you can pick it up for like 15 quid now and there's a lot of good about that game. So that was one of them. Pro Evo, I'm still playing that. Again, I call it underappreciated because, or underrated, it got really good reviews, but everyone's playing fucking FIFA. And again, it's so much better. Crank that game up to world class, it's just on a different level. The other one is Steep, which just fucking came and went. I'd heard so little about it, and then all of a sudden it was out. I was like, what the fuck? What happened? There was no fanfare. The reviews were like okay. All I remember was that the beta, I think, was released and it got some pretty bad feedback. So it kind of completely fell off my radar. But then for some reason, I was, you know, looking at a game to play over Christmas and I really should have bought something else. But I was like, oh man, I've not played a fucking snowboard game since, what, like 1080 on the GameCube? Is that true? No. What were the ones on the Xbox? Amped. I played Amped 3. Skip 2, went straight to 3 on the 360. That was another underrated sports game. Amped 3 on the Xbox 360. I think it was a launch title. That was a great fucking game. And this is equally good. It doesn't have the character of that game, because that was fucking weird, Amped 3. But it works. You've got to like almost get over the hump at the start, because it doesn't explain itself very well, and it's not structured brilliantly. But it is a technical masterpiece. I mean, that game loads, and the whole world is just fucking loaded. And it's got that amazing Ubisoft map, where you can just zoom in onto the mountain, and you realize, you know, you can see everything that's actually going on, and other people can kind of join you in the world, like randomly, and you can just see them on their runs, like on the fucking map. It's unbelievable. And yeah, you can just at any point, you can just jump to any point on the map, and you can use any of the disciplines. So it's like snowboarding, skiing, paragliding, and the wingsuit, which is just fucking super fun and intense. The paragliding isn't much fun in terms of the event, but I'm just fucking skipping those. But it's still convenient just to get around. And sometimes it's cool just go on the paraglider and just look around, because that game is absolutely gorgeous. It's not perfect. Again, as I said, it doesn't explain itself well. Anytime anyone talks, I just want to punch the screen. But if you're looking for like a snowboarding game or just kind of any kind of extreme sport, if you're into like skateboarding, you'll like this. I mean, after years of fucking Tony Hawk and stuff, this is the closest thing we've had to a very good extreme sports game since, what, like Skate? So yeah, I'd say it's totally worth a go, especially again, because nobody fucking bought it. It's already down to like £20-25. A month or two, you'll be able to pick that for like 15-20 quid. I think it's totally worth a punt, that and Rico. I did play something else. What the fuck else did I play? Oh, I played 3D, what is it? Mario? What the fuck? Why can't I think of the name? Super Mario Creator? Oh, Super Mario Maker. Jesus Christ, what the fuck is wrong with me? Super Mario Maker on the 3DS, which I know loads of people had an issue with because you can't really share levels, but I did not give two fucks because I don't like to create levels. I don't really give a shit about sharing. But what I do care about are really good Mario levels. And this has more good single player content than the Wii U version. So I'm actually playing it more than I did the Wii U version. Because like I said, I'm not interested in the created stuff, me creating stuff, and even the created stuff, like sifting through the crap to get to the good stuff is fucking nails. So this just has a better selection of levels created by Nintendo. And it's just cool because you're playing through, like, what is it? Like, I think it's like 18 worlds of 4 stages, and you're just jumping back and forth between Super Mario, Super Mario World, New Super Mario Brothers, and Super Mario 3. I did that in the weirdest fucking order ever, but you get the point. And of course, because it's Super Mario Maker, they can just go bonkers with the creativity. The levels are short, so it's perfect for a handheld. I'm really enjoying it. One of the best games I've played on the 3DS this year. Again, if you're into the creating and sharing, do not fucking bother. Because the creating tools are there, but you can't share it with anyone unless it's like your buddy locally. And who the fuck does that? This isn't Japan. But if you're just looking for like a collection of great Mario levels, it's totally worth a look. What was the last thing? Because I will wrap it up. Because I want to actually come back on Friday and do another episode. Because, you know, Nintendo, like the Switch is being released. I'm not going to make any bullshit assumptions because that'll just make me look like an asshole. I'm just going to wait for Friday. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to fucking buy it or at least pre-order it. I don't care what they say. Like, they can say anything. As soon as that's available to pre-order, I'm fucking pre-ordering it. But I do want to come back on Friday after that has all been talked about and such. Either on this or on the Brashcast. Anyway, Brashcast, if you don't know, is the other Brash Games podcast that I do with Ross Alexander. So, you know, if you just listen to this for the first time, you haven't heard Brashcast, check out Brashcast. We have a Facebook page, I think. Anyway, you can see it on the fucking website. They're there to download on iTunes and the such. So please, go have a look. What was the last thing I was going to talk about? One sec. It's fucking water. I have no idea how long I've been talking. GarageBand, I don't know, since the update, it just doesn't tell you how long. I know, like, I do have clocks, but what am I going to do, like, clock maths? Fuck that noise. Yeah, so I've come across some annoying save crashes recently, and it's done my fucking head in. I haven't had this for ages. Has everyone else had this? I assume everyone else has come across this at one point or another. I was playing, and I know it's a short game, but I was playing Everyone Has Gone to the Rapture, and I was thoroughly enjoying it. You know, the walking simulator set in like the 80s in the like Shropshire, I think it is, and everyone's just disappeared. Just drops you into it, you just walk around, and you just kind of slowly figure out what's happened, and you know, you hear their stories as you progress. Really enjoying it. Played it for like 2 hours, and then I walked away from it because it was Christmas and I had to do like family shit. And my PlayStation, I always forget to change the fucking power saving settings, so it turned off automatically. And I was like, oh, it's fine. It probably saved like, you know, 10 minutes ago. I'll just replay it. I went back. I don't know what the fuck I'd been doing, but I hadn't saved for like an hour. I'd lost ages. And that's the end of the game for me. Because I know, again, I know it's not a long game, but I'm not going to replay all that shit. There's too many other games. I got too many other fucking things to do. So that was literally the end of that game. So I just, like, before I even got tempted, I just read up on the rest of the game. I was like, all right, I know the story now. I'm not going to be tempted. And I just deleted it. That save game, it wasn't even a crash. It was just me being an idiot. I didn't save it. Then the console turned off, but it hadn't auto-saved for like an hour. So I'm not even sure if that kind of is classed as a save crash or it's just me being a moron. But either way, it just meant that I never finished that game. And never will, obviously, which kind of sucks. But I did get an official save crash. Was it an official save crash? I might be making this up. These might all just be cases of me being a fucking moron. I was playing Skyforce Anniversary, which is out on the Xbox One now. And it's one of the most surprisingly brilliant games of the past few months. It's like a vertical shooter. And it used to be a mobile game, which should put, you know, usually puts people off. But it's a vertical shooter, but I think it's made in Poland. I should know, because I actually reviewed it. But rather than just being the usual, oh, go up, score chase and all that jazz, there's an array of minor challenges, which probably comes from the whole mobile, the fact that it used to be a mobile game, but it totally works here, because you keep unlocking stuff. So I got into this gameplay loop of, like, I complete a level, you get enough to kind of upgrade your ship a little bit, then you go back and you try and do an additional challenge. So whether it be going to the next level or just replaying the same level and trying to unlock more stars, whatever the fuck it was just a super addictive game. And then one day I've been playing it for ages, like an hour and a half, which might not be ages to some people, it's fucking ages to me. Hour and a half, and then I just turned off the console. I went to bed, I was like, oh, that obviously saved, no worries. Again, if I have to replay 10 minutes, that's fine. I came back, I'd lost like an hour and a half. Like, none of the shit had saved. I don't know why I keep doing this. But again, I feel like that's like kind of... Obviously, I played loads of it because I'd reviewed it, but I was planning on like taking that to 100%. I was really into it. And now that I've just lost all that time, I'm just like, I can't be fucked redoing that stuff. So, yeah, again, I think that's just me being an idiot, is it? Or I just have expectations that game should auto-save more often? I don't know. This isn't looking good for me, is it? But it does remind me of, like, I have had instances in the past when there has been an official crash. Like, the first Dead Space, I was on, like, chapter... I think there are, like, 15 chapters in that game. I was on chapter 12, and basically a set piece was about to start, and a door opens, and all those weird zombie splicer cutty things, like, were supposed to run through the door. Clearly, I can't remember their names. And they're supposed to run through the door and attack me, and the door opens, and nobody comes out. And all of a sudden now, all the doors are locked. So I can't go forward, I can't go back, nothing's fucking happening. And the game is saved just before that point. And I've got no other save files. I never do backup saves, in fairness. Again, this doesn't make me look good. So that was that game fucked again. I was on chapter 12 or 15, and that's that finish. What am I going to do, start the game again? So at least I've got one example. So yeah, I was going to moan about this loads, but it turns out I've got one example from a game which was released like 8 years ago. And then a couple of recent instances where I've been a fucking moron. I think that's a great place to fucking end. As I said, I'll be back, hopefully on Friday, in one form or another, to speak about the Switch, because there's bound to be something interesting to say there. I did have other things to talk about. I was going to talk about VR, which I finally tried, but I might just save that for the next episode. Anyway, if you've made it this far, God bless you. Thanks for listening. As always, please download and subscribe on iTunes and Android and all that shit. And there is now a Brashcast and a Brash Games Going Solo podcast. So there's two of them. One with just me and then one with me and Ross. If you could subscribe to both, that'd be lovely. But more importantly, just come back next week. Or later this week, whatever I do. Again, I have dates. Just these things update automatically. Anyway, thanks for listening. I hope 2017 is treating you well thus far. And while I can still speak in any kind of coherent manner, I'm going to call it a day. Bye!